anecdotes and humor. I can't say I would turn him into a statistician, but maybe I'd persuade him a little bit.
How does your credit card company use data on what you're buying to predict if you're likely to miss a payment?
Well, this is very interesting. So one of the things that we should bear in mind here is just over the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a proliferation of data. So you go back 15 years and you gave your credit card to somebody, they would run it on one of those old-fashioned machines. You remember that? And then they would take the slip and they would stick it in a box somewhere, and they probably went off to a warehouse. Well, now we're in an era where they're swiping it. So we have a digital record of what you're buying, of who you are, because we can match it up to your other payments, and we have scanner data on all the other things you might be buying at the same time. Well, there was a very enterprising Canadian retailer, and they did a variation of what retailers like Netflix are doing, and you may be more familiar with. So Netflix knows what kind of movies I like because they look at the pattern of my rentals. They look at the pattern of other people who seem to like the same movies, and if some other person who likes the same movies I do has seen something I haven't, they're going to say it stands to reason that this person, that you like this movie because that person did. Well, this Canadian retailer took it one step further and said, we know that some people miss payments, some people don't. Even among people with similar incomes, there's a big disparity in those who are regular payers and those who are more likely to be responsible. Can we predict who's likely to miss a payment based on the things they buy? And they went through all the data that I've just described, and they found, what they found is not terribly shocking. That they had the ability to do it is perhaps shocking. So I think people who buy bird feeders and roof shovels are least likely to miss a payment. And the logic is, these are people who are very altruistic. If you're out there feeding the birds, then you're going to feel really bad about missing a payment. People who buy, I think it was skull decals for their car, more likely to miss a payment. And there were some other scary kinds of retail items. So I wasn't shocked by their findings. I was sobered, I think, by the ability to do this kind of analysis.
Skull decals.
Right, that you paste on your car. This is not a good sign for creditworthiness.
We learn about a Gini index. Sweden has a Gini index of 0.23. The U.S. is 0.45. What is that?
One of the things that we've been debating about in this country for certainly the last 5-7 years is income inequality. We are asking ourselves, first of all, is it going on? Are we becoming a more unequal place? And then second, should we care about that? And the statistics can only answer the first part, which is, are we actually a more unequal society than we used to be? Are we a more unequal place than other countries on Earth? And what the Gini Index does is you can array all the households hypothetically in a country from poorest to richest, and you can measure what proportion of the total income in a country do, say, 50% of the households own. So if 50% of the households own 50% of the wealth or the income, that's a pretty equal place. If the bottom 50% of the households only own 12% of the income, then it stands to reason it's relatively skewed towards the wealthy. Well, once you can do that exercise, you can put a single number against income inequality, and you can collapse all of the stuff that's going on in the United States or Sweden into a single number that measures how equal or unequal a place is. This is, by the way, a statistic that the CIA calculates. If you want a great place for statistics, go to the CIA World Factbook, which is all public data. They collect the Gini Index on an array of countries over time. And what it tells us, first, is that the United States, not surprisingly, is more unequal than places like Sweden and other Scandinavian countries, still less unequal than places like Brazil and South Africa and so on, but also that the United States has in fact become more unequal over time, if you look over the past 20 years or so. It's a very clever, albeit simplified way to give us a number around this very important idea of income inequality.
So our number is going up.
Our number is going up, and up in this case is not particularly good. It's not like a bowling score. Up is not good.
Which brings us to gun laws.
Not necessarily, but we're there anyway.
Yeah. There were 900 deaths a year related to guns. Some say it's double that. And further yet, one stat says 31,347 Americans were killed by guns in 2009. How do we make sense of these numbers?
I think guns are actually a terrific venue for discussing statistics because there's a lot going on. It gets it. Two things that we've already hinted at. One is you have people who may not necessarily be intellectually honest in the debate. So they're coming with a point of view and a place they want you to arrive